to hear you in new ways and opening up our minds that we might understand you in new ways. That you'd be opening up our hearts that we might be changed. Lord, and we pray that you would speak loud because sometimes we have trouble hearing. Sometimes we have trouble just getting out of all the distractions that are in our ears and in our lives. So we pray that in this time we would encounter you and that we would be changed. And we pray that you would speak. I pray this is in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week I told you about, of all things, a plant that I've owned or had in my life for about the last 15 years. It has traveled the country with me several times. It has moved more than 10 times just as I've moved. It's come with me. But earlier on in the plant's life, before, you know, we grew attached to each other, I was in Houston at the time. And I was making a move away from Houston at the time, and I had to make a decision about what plants were coming with me. I think my stuff was getting moved in a truck, but they won't move your plants if you have them. And I had a couple, and I was taking a car, and you only can fit so many plants in a car. You don't really want to fit so many plants in a car. Either way, bottom line, I had to get rid of some of my plants. This plant had been in my apartment for 3 years. It really hadn't done much. It stayed green, and that alone was that's part of the reason I have a bond with this plant, because I think it was the first non-cactus that I kept alive for more than a few days. And the cactus didn't last many days after those few days, but that's a different story. But it had been alive in my presence for a long time, and I had it in my apartment for 3 years, and it didn't really do that much. Every once in a while, there'd be a new leaf. It seemed healthy enough. It seemed fine. But I only had the room for so much, and it wasn't really a pretty good plant. And so I was like, you know what? It doesn't make the cut. So here was my plan. I was driving to San Antonio. It was a couple weeks out still. But I wasn't leaving yet, so I had to kind of get rid of this plant. And I don't know, there's something in me that has trouble doing that. So what I figured was I would give it one last good drink, and then I'd put it out on my patio. It was the summer in Houston, and when the summer gets hotter in Houston, and my balcony was, it was kind of enclosed, and, or not enclosed, but like, it was an oven. Basically, you got the afternoon sun in a big way. And so what I figured was, I'd give it one last drink, I'd put it on the patio, and then I'd go back in a day or two, and it'd be just crisp. It would just be a big pile of dirt, and then I could just get rid of the dirt off the patio, and that would be that. Problem solved. So I did. I filled it up with water. I stuck it out. I had a busy week. I was barely home. Came home, went to sleep. We woke up, went back to wherever, going back to work. So I didn't pay attention to the plant at all for about a week. And then it was Saturday or something. I was going out to see the carnage. I was expecting to see some brown sticks and dirt. That was all I was expecting. When I opened the shades or whatever, the plant had doubled in size. If you had told me someone had climbed up 3 stories and replaced my plant with another one that was healthy, I would have believed that more than this plant becoming what it had become. The leaves were dark green. They were 3 times as wide. It looked like a brand new plant. It didn't even resemble the former plant. And what I learned was apparently this kind of plant really, really quickly needs direct sunlight. If you keep it inside in a dark apartment for 3 years, it won't do much of anything for those 3 years. And then you give it what it's finally been needing for so much time, and it grows in surprising and unexpected ways. For 3 years, that plant had really only existed, and in a couple of days, it actually received new life. And I say all this because I wonder how many of us are a lot like my plant. How many of us are simply existing? How many of us are just passing the time? The days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years. And without any real sign of healthy growth, of any signs of life. Because here's the thing. I'm pretty sure we were made to grow. And yet I think so often we settle for just being alive. And here's what's even more, I would say, intriguing and disturbing about all this. What if there's something in your life that you're missing right now, like the light on that plant, that would make all the difference? What if there's a key ingredient that simply just not in your life right now, that if it was there, there would be a radical change. There would bring growth and health and really to breathe life back into our lives. If only we could find out what that missing thing was. That's what we're going to talk about a bit today. Last week, we started this part of the sermon series. This is part two of a huge series looking at growth in the Bible. And we spent some time last week talking about this idea of growth in a more general way. We talked about how growth ultimately, only, comes from God. We all have a role to play, sure, but ultimately it's God who brings growth. And I read through a passage, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it'll be on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 8, where the Apostle Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So there's a role that we have in encouraging growth, but we also need to recognize that ultimately all growth comes from God. And so we then are trying to work together with him to make sure this plant and or our lives have all the things they need so that they can grow. Making sure the plant has water, sunlight, with the right soil, space to grow, and our lives have other things. So we see that if something is missing, maybe our growth will be held back. Maybe we won't grow in the right ways. Today we're going to continue exploring this growth image by focusing on what might need to be added into our lives to encourage that growth. So I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 20. Colossians chapter 1, 3 through 20. It's in the New Testament. The mnemonic is Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company. It's different here, but I was from California. That's what it used to be called. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, starting there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to a church in Colossae. It's a young church. Paul has probably never been there. He's never met these people, but he met some of them. And he's writing to encourage this new church. He's writing to help them resist some false teachings that were happening, to correct their false understandings about who Jesus is, and come to introduce himself as well. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 20. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in his inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. And in all things, in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Paul begins his letter by expressing thanksgiving for this church. He seems genuinely excited about who they are, about what they're doing, about how they are growing. It sounds like they're doing well. It sounds like they're healthy. They're growing in love. They've heard the gospel. They've learned about it. They're applying it, and the gospel continues to grow and bear fruit in them. And of course, Paul's been praying for this young church. But then Paul gets explicit about what he's praying for on their behalf. And really, apparently, this is part of his purpose, not just in prayer, but in ministry as well. And I want us to look back at verses 10 through 11, because I want us to really spend the bulk of our time this morning in those two verses. Verse 10 through 11 say this. Paul writes, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father." The overarching goal of Paul's ministry in Paris for this little community of believers is that they live a life worthy of the Lord, a life worthy of his love for us, a life worthy of the sending of his Son for us, a life worthy of Jesus dying for us. We are to make the most of our lives in him. But then Paul explains what this really looks like. Living a life worthy of the Lord means that we're bearing fruit. It means that we're growing. It means that we're strengthened. And really, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, don't we all want to be growing? To live lives that matter. Don't we all want to leave a legacy of fruit? Don't we all want to grow in healthy ways and become stronger, not just physically, but in all areas of life? In many ways, these are the signs of life, of health in our lives. Good fruit only happens in good plants. Growth only happens in living plants. And real strength can only be found in healthy plants. So do you remember where our sermon began? Apparently, plants can also just seem alive, but merely be existing. And the same can be true of us as well. What if we're only existing and not growing and thriving the way that God wants us to live? I've read it before, even in this series, I think, and I'll read it again many, many times before I'm done in this church many, many years from now. But there's a pastor named A.W. Tozer, and he writes it this way. He says, "We must have better Christians." To talk of better Christians is to use language foreign to many persons. To them, all Christians are alike, all of them justified and forgiven, and are children of God. So to make comparisons between them is to suggest divisions and bigotry and any number of horrible things. What is forgotten is that a Christian is a born one, an embodiment of growing life, and as such may be retarded, stunted, and undernourished, or injured very much as any other organism. Favorable conditions will produce a stronger and healthier organism than will adverse conditions. What Tozer's trying to get at there is if we, as Jesus said, are born again, if we are born ones, then the question becomes, how are we living out this new life? Are we living out this new life, or are we simply living out the old life just in this new, we're born again, but we still just do everything we used to do? Paul, in another passage, says it this way. He says, "You are a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." That word creation is really trying to get at the word creature. You're a whole new thing. You are a new species in Christ. The old Homo sapiens sapien, I think last I heard, was reclassified things since I was high school. But something to that effect, and you're not that anymore if you're in Christ. You're something entirely different. But the question is, are you growing up in this new thing, or are you still just living out your humanity? Are we growing in that healthy way, or are we simply settling for the way certain things have always been? Of course, we know that growing, though, that takes work. Thinking back to that plant analogy that we started even last week, if there are things that are missing from your life that are keeping you from growing, it will take work to put those things back into your life. But of course, that's not surprising, because any good gardener knows it takes work to keep healthy plants. A good gardener pulls weeds, puts down new dirt. They'll till and mulch and plant and water and prune and weed and do all of that work so that a plant is free to grow in the right ways. And all of that work needs to be there so that the plants can become healthy, so that they can be good fruit. But that's kind of also the tricky part about disciplines, about living out the Christian life, doing the acts that we're supposed to be doing apparently as Christians. The tricky thing is you have to add those things in, that structure in, which means you have to choose to live more disciplined in certain areas, which means you have to give up certain freedoms right now so that you can be apparently more free in the future. I was reading something recently that said this one. It said, discipline is doing what you don't want to do so that you're free to do what you do want to do. A great pianist has practiced for countless hours. They have restricted, well, they probably had their freedom restricted by the parents for a while. And then hopefully they chose to continue to restrict their freedom for a great deal longer. But now when they sit down at a piano, they are far more free than I am. I mean, I'm free to play chopsticks, and I can do the dun 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 that one. I'm free on those on the piano. They're free to play Beethoven, or Rachmaninoff, or Mozart. They've restricted, they've added discipline into their lives, and now they have a new freedom that was never there before. You see it in relationships as well. The more time and effort and work and energy you invest in another person, the greater joy, the greater depth, the greater freedom you have in that relationship. That relationship will grow because all of that work, that time and effort, pays off and grows. And so, of course, this makes sense that it's true of our spiritual lives as well. In this case, Paul even clarifies what it will take. He says, you need to bear fruit in every good work, implying there's some good works happening so that you can bear those good fruit. And you need to grow in the knowledge of God, which implies there's some study of some kind or other, so that you can be growing in that knowledge. And strength and power also kind of implies some action. We are to be doing good works, growing in knowledge, working in power. So there's something we need to be doing in order to be bearing fruit and growing and being strengthened. The implication is that if you're not doing those good works, you might not bear that good fruit. If you're not studying, you may not be able to grow in the knowledge of God. If that activity is not happening, you may not be being strengthened. It takes work for growth. It takes time for growth. It takes patience for growth. Last week, as part of our worship service, we planted lima beans. During worship, you all came forward, you took a little pot, you put some dirt in, you put some seeds in. And so why there are just pots of dirt sitting around our church. It's not because we forgot the flowers. It's because we're growing lima beans at the moment. If you weren't here last week, there's a station right by the door. You should plant some lima beans and take them home with you. Or just, I think there's a couple that are already done. You may want to add some dirt on top. But go ahead and take those with you either way. And I chose lima beans because they're really easy to grow. I even tested it out a couple weeks before this whole series got started. I went to the grocery store. I bought a bag of lima beans. Just, I mean, pinto beans, lima beans. I grabbed the lima beans. Put a bunch in the dirt. Like 3 days later, they're coming out of the soil. They're going all crazy. They're now taking over our kitchen as we speak. But for last week, what we wanted to do is we wanted to get a different kind of lima bean, a better kind, a healthier kind, just a sturdier kind in general. It turns out it's also a much, much, much slower kind of lima bean as well. Has anyone started? Anyone at all? No, I didn't think so. So maybe you all need to be praying more and reading your Bible more, because that's the analogy we were using. But that also means that if you're still in it, you're still watering this thing. And you're still trying to care for this thing. I've read, because I was really disturbed this week, that it wasn't growing. They like warmth, apparently. So maybe it's got a little too cold. If you can get it some sunlight, maybe that's going to help. But you still have to be caring for this thing, even though there's nothing happening yet, as far as you can tell. Growth may be happening inside that little seed, except at the moment you just got a pot of dirt sitting somewhere. It still takes work. It still takes time. It takes diligence. It takes discipline. But hopefully, literally God willing, it will grow.
And of course, there are some benefits, too, for this growth. It's not just we want to grow for the fun of growing. Besides getting a great crop of lima beans, pull this out. Some of the things that will happen if this growth starts happening in you. Paul says, if that growth starts happening, you will have great endurance and patience and thanksgiving. As you grow healthier, you'll be able to endure more. You'll be able to be more patient. You'll become a more thankful person. And those sound like good things to me. I would like it if I could endure more. When I go through the storms of life, if I just had a little bit more endurance than normal. Patience, in particular, sounds good. I'm not good at that one. At all. It sounds like that would be a helpful thing to have around. Even just being generally more thankful people just tend to be more fun to be around. Those would be some good results if we could see those in our lives. What's more, I think all of those really start growing once even we just recognize who the grower of our lives actually is. Knowing that God is the grower, you are able to endure better because you know that God is with you in the midst of those hard times. Knowing that God is the one who's growing you makes you more patient because you know that ultimately He is in control. And ultimately He is hopefully doing something in you to grow you better. Knowing that God is the grower, you become more thankful because you really start to recognize all good things really do come from Him. And how much does life get easier and better when all growing isn't up to you in the first place? It's the hard part about talking about Christian disciplines, praying and reading the Bible and those kind of things, because it can seem like those are just all those other things you need to do. You need to do it in order to grow. But it's just one more thing that goes on the list of to do and then didn't do. And it's just one more thing that stick into your life. So remember, this isn't so that you specifically can make yourself grow. This is so that you can partner with God in how He's growing you already. So that you might be able to grow better or more healthy because of those things in your life. So that you're more free to grow in the right ways as opposed to the wrong ways. That we can partner with God in the project that He's doing in you. And now I want to make this one really practical. Last week I handed out a sheet. There's some still out there somewhere that's going to fold it in half. And the sheet kind of is a moment of clarity for me. On the left side, it has all the things that a plant needs to stay alive. It needs sunlight and water and soil and space and some other stuff. There's a good list going. And then on the other side of the sheet is that stuff that we may need in our lives to grow spiritually. Bible study, prayer, and that kind of thing as well. And the question that it gets at is, what are those things in your life and are you missing them? Is there anything in there that needs to be in your life that just isn't? And it's not a good balance right now. A little bit, someone was leaving and they said, our plant got a lot of water because we just assumed you just. But it sounds like their little lima bean was just swimming in a pot with a little bit of dirt in it and a whole bunch of water. You need a good balance of these things. So what is it that you need to add into your life to get a better balance going? Next week, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what's in your life that may need to get out of your life. We'll talk about pruning and weeding and tilling and those kinds of things. Because maybe there's stuff in your life that shouldn't be there. That's next week. That'll be a fun one, too. This week, though, is the easy one. You're just adding something in. And frankly, they work together because maybe what you need to do is pick one thing out and put something else in its place. But as we get practical this morning, I want to close with a couple of options of things that we may want to add into our life to make sure that mix is right. But before we do, I want to ask my closing question to you. What one thing needs to be added into your life so that God can help you grow better? One thing. If you're like me, there's a lot more than one thing that needs to be added so that God can grow better. But I find that gets discouraging, or I get overzealous and trying to do everything and then nothing happens. Pick one. One thing that you can start today, this week, today or this week. It shouldn't take longer than that. But you've got to start somewhere. And so here, I'm going to do four things. And the question that you need to be asking is, I read these four things, which do you think might be the one that, if you were to add it, would be like water on the dry soil of your soul? Which one's the most missing in your life right now? This one's Bible study, learning, reading the Bible. You can't apply God's word if you don't know it. You can't be very discerning without having something to measure truth from. It's hard to hear what God might be saying if you don't even recognize his voice. If you haven't opened up your Bible in the last, I don't know, couple of years, that's probably the one. Is Bible study the one that you need to add in? Second one, prayer. And a little bit of worship in there too, but we'll go with prayer for right now. You have to be spending time with God. It's a relationship. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort for it to grow. Time is what relationships are born from. Are you spending time with God in prayer? If you haven't done that in a long, long time, maybe that's your one. Again, you're only picking one of these. Bible study, prayer. The third one is serving. The point of the Christian life isn't all about you. Jesus always seemed to care more about everyone else than himself. And we are called to exemplify that in our lives. Do you serve your family well, your co-workers well, your neighbors well, your actual neighbors well, the people who actually live in the houses nearby? Do you serve them, the people you know? Do you serve them well? The people you don't know, do you serve them well? The poor. Are you serving at all? That might be the thing that's missing the most. And finally, what I'm calling Christian community, fellowship. You can't do this faith thing by yourself. That'd be crazy. You would don't do that. It's why we do both of this. It's why we do church. You need a community of believers to be around you, to encourage you, to teach you, to challenge you, to call you out when you need to be called out, to learn with you, to learn from you, to be praying for you, to be praying with you. That's why we do church together. That's why we do growth. You need, if you don't have anyone around you at all other than the people who sit next to you whose name you don't know in church, this might be the thing that's missing the most. I don't know if you can go all that long without all four of these things, but pick one today. Of those four, which is the one that's most absent in your life right now? And some of these have different frequencies. I mean, you may not be serving every day. Prayer probably more closer to every day. Bible study, prayer, serving, fellowship. Not so coincidentally, those are quite related to kind of our strategy of just how we do church here. Learn, serve, worship, fellowship. It's how we as a community live out our faith, but then as individuals as well. I think these things need to be present. I think if these things are not present, I don't know that we can grow. Which is the one? And that's not, it's rhetorical, and I don't want to ask answering out loud. But what's the one you need to work on this week? Just one. And then I'm going to give you like 3.5 seconds at some point in the next sentence or two. How are you actually going to make that happen this week? If Bible study is the thing that you're missing, do you own a Bible? Do you know where it is? Do you know where you open? Don't open it just for the middle stuff. I mean, open it, try a gospel, try a Luke or John or something. One of the letters or something. Or Genesis. This is one of my favorite books. Where are you going to read? If you're going to pray this week, when? So what place are we all busy? Where can you actually pray and be uninterrupted for at least a minute and a half in your life right now? Be practical about these things. If you're going to serve, don't just be like, yeah, I should probably serve more. Who? When? How? If you're going to seek out more community in your life than you have, how are you going to do that? Who are you going to ask? Take a moment and actually think about it for a second. Bible study, prayer, serving, fellowship. And hopefully as we add whatever that is, that one thing into our life, it will help us to live a life worthy of the Lord, to please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience and be able to joyfully give thanks to the Father. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You are the giver of all good gifts, that You are the God of life and growth, that You breathe into us life anew. Lord, help us to recognize what may be missing in our lives. And then more importantly, may You help us to be challenged to add it back in this week, even today. And Lord, we know that growth takes patience, that we may not see any result at all today or tomorrow or the next day. But that doesn't mean that we're not growing. Lord, help us to live a life worthy of You, of Your Son, who lived and died for the world, for us. And help us bear fruit and grow up in Him. And in His name we pray all of these things.